Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And thank you, choir, for the great song as well. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to the Old Testament, to the very heart of the Bible, the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 22. And I am praying that God would speak to our hearts today. I'm excited about this message, and I'm praying that the Lord will deal with us as only He can. If you're visiting with us here today, thank you for coming. And I pray that during this time of the service, you'll allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I think it's very important before we begin a church service to pray and to ask God, Lord, speak to me today. And so this morning, would you allow me to just have another prayer with you? And would you do a couple of things? Number one, would you pray for me that the Lord will enable me to preach? And then secondly, would you pray for anyone that is without Jesus Christ, that today that put their faith and trust in Christ? And then number three, would you pray for yourself that God would speak to you? And you know what? I found it helpful to go ahead and tell the Lord, God, whatever you speak to me about, I say yes to it right now before we hear it. And may God help us. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for the privilege that you have given to me to be a messenger of your truth. And Father, I did not call myself. You called me. And I praise you for that. And Lord, I ask you to enable me today to give forth the Word of God as you would have me to give it. And I pray for anyone that is here today that is not a part of your family, they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that today they would recognize that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, and they would recognize that you are the only Savior. Father, help us today. Lord, may there be no distractions. May there be a spirit of rest, but a spirit of anticipation this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Psalms is, I guess, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I'm so thankful for what we find. But in Psalm chapter 22 is a very unusual psalm. It is known as the Psalm of the Cross. You say, why? Well, in fact, many Bible commentators believe that the entire Psalm 22 was quoted by Jesus Christ while he was on the cross dying for the sins of the world. We look at Psalm 22, we notice something about it. It is speaking about our great shepherd. It's the great shepherd dying on the cross for the sins of all mankind. We come to Psalm 23, we won't turn there, but we find the great shepherd caring for his sheep. And then in Psalm chapter 24, we find the great shepherd coming for his sheep. So Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are very significant psalms. But today I want to bring you to Psalm chapter 22. And I want you to think of this psalm, the psalm of the cry of the cross. And I want you to think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I believe he could have quoted this entire psalm when he was hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. Let's read it together. Psalm 22, would you follow along? And I'd like to read this entire chapter here this morning. The Bible says, Psalm 22 in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee and the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. This morning, I want to preach on that last little phrase in verse number 31. He hath done this. Now, if you would take note in your Bible and notice many different things here, and we could talk about almost every verse here. We notice back, and if you look in verse number 22, where the Bible says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Here, the Lord Jesus giving this psalm, and we know this is a psalm of David, but it is called a messianic psalm. Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, David is penning these words. And I believe that Jesus did speak these words when he was upon the cross. And he is boldly declaring, I will speak of this. What is he speaking of? What he hath done. By the way, we read through this chapter. We notice back in verse number 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We think of that. You see, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung and bled upon the cross to pay the substitutionary death for every man, God literally forsook his son on the cross. That's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back upon his son on the cross. And Jesus Christ died for your sin and my sin. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, that's speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God took the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future, and he took it upon and he laid it upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ bore the sin debt of the world. That is why he says, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, listen, it was the plan of God for Jesus, his only begotten Son, to die on the cross for the sins of all the world. By the way, we notice the Bible says in verse number 6, I'm just touching on some verses here that I want to bring your attention to. The Lord Jesus said, but I am a worm and no man. Can I ask you something? Well, there's a worm crawling on the ground on, I think it was Thursday morning. The kids were coming into the school and, of course, it was raining and I had an umbrella out there. And there was worms on the sidewalk. And I would say to a couple of kids, I said, hey, your lunch is out here. Pick it up. Take it in. And they would laugh and say, no, Pastor, I'm not eating that. You know what? I don't have really, doesn't bother me at all to step on a worm, you know? Doesn't bother me to sacrifice a worm for the sake of catching a fish, you know? And the Lord Jesus said, I'm a worm. In the sense, no man looks upon me with grace or beauty. I'm a worm. And he says, and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. We know that Jesus Christ came into his own and his own received him not. And it was not a beautiful thing that day that Jesus hung on the cross. Oh, we look upon it and we praise God for it. We thank God for his death and his burial and his resurrection for us. But on that day when Jesus Christ died, it was not a beautiful sight. There was mocking going on. There was jeering going on. There was laughing. There was scoffing going on. They were blaspheming the name of our precious Savior. He was despised. And he was rejected of men. The Bible says in Isaiah, he was a man of sorrows. He was a man who was acquainted with grief. That's what Jesus did for you and me. You see, this psalm of the cross, folks, this morning, he hath done this. Our Savior did everything that needed to be done so that you and me could go to heaven for all of eternity. Unless Jesus Christ had done this, none of us would ever be able to enter into heaven. You may say this morning, well, I'm a good person and I try to pay my bills on time and I work hard and I take care of my family and I'm a moral person. Wonderful, that's great. But may I tell you today that unless Jesus Christ had done that, unless he had went to the cross, you and I would die in our sins and spend eternity in a place called hell forever. And by the way, when we talk about the gospel, you know what the word gospel means? It means good news. And the good news this morning is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. But can I remind you of something? That's good news for you and me. But some people don't know that they need the good news because they've never heard the bad news. You know what the bad news is? The bad news is that every one of us here, everyone in the whole wide world, every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever been born is born with a sin nature. They are born dead in trespasses and sin. They are born separated from God because of our sin debt. And folks, we can do nothing to save ourselves. We need a Savior. We need someone who can do what we could never do. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this psalm here today because here we see what our Savior has done. Notice, we go back to that verse number 31, and the Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 31, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. The Lord Jesus Christ has done everything that needs to be done. It is finished. It is complete. The work of our Savior. Number one this morning, I want you to notice the message of the Lord's people. Do you know today that every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a message to tell? The message. Now go back in Psalm chapter 22 and notice what it says in verse number 22. Psalm 22, verse 22. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. He says, I will declare thy name. Now what is the psalmist saying? I'm going to declare something. What is he declaring? Well, he's declaring what Jesus Christ has done. That he hath done this. That Jesus went to the cross and he paid for the sin debt of all mankind. But he made a way for us to get to God. He bridged the gap between us and God. Listen, folks, can I tell you this? Do you want to know God? Do you want to spend eternity with God? Do you want to know Him? Well, Jesus Christ has done what is necessary for you and me to know our God. I want you to take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 20. And I want to show you something. Folks, may I tell you that God is not some distant God who can never be reached because of our sin debt. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, He's made a way for you and me to know and to fellowship and to have a relationship with our God. By the way, as you're turning to John 20, He is the Creator God, yes, who made the world. And by the way, He spoke everything that we see into existence. He is not only my God, but He can be your God. Look, and can I tell you this? Before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I knew about God. I knew that God created the heavens and the earth. But to me, God was so distant, and He was. To me, God was a million miles away because I was lost in my sin. But can I tell you something? When I understood what Jesus Christ hath done for me, and that He died for my sin, that He died for every wicked, horrible thing that I've ever done or ever will do, and Jesus Christ paid for my sin debt so that I could know God. Listen, what a wonderful thought. He hath done this. Look in John chapter 20, and I want you to look at one verse here. The Bible says in verse number 17. And notice what the Lord Jesus said here. John 20 and verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. He's speaking of Mary, and He's just risen from the grave. But He says this, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them. Now think of this. Jesus just rose from the grave. He sees Mary, and He says to her, go to my brethren, and this is what I want you to say. Because listen, He's just died on the cross, He has been buried, and now He's risen from the grave. And this is what He says, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Do you know something? If Jesus Christ had never died and was buried and rose from the grave, He could never say, our God and our Father. Listen, He made a way. Oh, listen, that is what the message that we have to tell. Listen, we can tell a world today that there is a God in heaven who loves you, who cares for you, and He wants to be your God. He wants to be your everlasting Father. That is the message that He hath done this. Folks, today, can I tell you this? Our God is one who wants to have fellowship with man. I don't know that I will ever understand that God wants to know me. And God wants to fellowship with me. What is this that Jesus hath done? He has bridged that gap. He has paid our sin debt on the cross. He has made a way for every person to go to heaven. By the way, you know something? Our problem today, can I tell you something? We see all the problems in the world, and we think we have more problems than America has ever had. But I'm going to tell you something. The problems may change faces, but folks, the real problem in America is not education, it's not politics. There's problems there, but that's not our real problem. Our problem is not financial. Can I tell you, our problem is the heart of man. Man is a sinner. It's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. It is conditioned. By the way, you could take a man, you could give him a good education, you could teach him good standards and moral living and all of that, but all you are doing is how to help that man to live a better life and to die and spend eternity and go to a Christless hell. Do you understand something today? What people need to hear is the message that Jesus Christ hath done this. Jesus Christ has made a way. Listen, it is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through church membership. It is not through doing good deeds. It is not through trying not to sin. It is only through Jesus Christ that anyone can spend eternity with God the Father. Amen. It is only through Him. This is the message that we boldly declare today. By the way, Jesus Christ took care of the one thing that you and I could never take care of. You know, this past few days, I have been pastor, dad, mom, principal. I've been all that, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate my wife a whole lot more after having to do that. Last night, me and the boys were folding laundry. Folding laundry. Did you hear what I said? Folding laundry, all right? I mean, this was a miracle of God, really, you know. It was a miracle of necessity is what it was, you know. My boy said, Dad, I don't get this. Why do we have to fold it? We're just going to put it in a drawer and undo it. I said, I understand, but Mama wants it done. We're going to do it, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I hope my wife doesn't inspect anything, you know. Folding is hard work. I'm just going to tell you that. How many men understand what I'm talking about here? I mean, good night, you know. And but you know something? I guess sometimes, I think all of us men would agree, we may not understand all that our wives do, all the things they go through. I've got a little taste of that this week. I greatly appreciate her a whole lot more, and I thank God for my precious wife. But can I tell you this? Do we stop to understand what the Lord has really done for us? You may say this morning, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Wonderful. But we should bask, we should dwell on the very fact that Jesus Christ did the one thing that we could never do for ourselves. That's the message of God's people. It is the message that we must tell. By the way, this is the message that we are to declare to the brethren. He is now our Father. He is now our God. And we can know Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message. And by the way, our message must always remain the same. It was never changed. You folks, it does not change no matter what our popular culture teaches us. The message is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but through Him. Amen. That is the message. Number two, not only do we see the message of the Lord's people, but we see the mission. The mission. Now, if you go back to Psalm chapter 22, I want to show you a couple of things here. Now, because we have a message, we have a mission. What is the mission? The mission is to get that message to everyone. That's our mission today. Folks, today you may say, well, God wants me to do this and God wants me to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. God really wants you simply to get the message to the lost and the dying. That's what God has commissioned us to do. Now, you may do that through, doing many different jobs. You may do it through working on a bus route or teaching a Sunday school class or working in the Christian school or helping in the youth group or helping in King's Kids or singing in the choir or helping in the nursery. There are lots of ways that we can have a part in the mission of the people of God. It is to get the message out. Look what the Bible says in verse number 23. Notice what it says here. We noticed in verse 22 where it says, I will declare thy name. All right, but look in verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him. And fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. Now, brethren, today we are to bring glory to God. Now, you know, so often when I say something like that, what does it mean to bring glory to God? I mean, okay, Pastor, what does it mean to bring glory to God? I'll speak to you clearly. To bring glory to God, the glory has to do with what rightly belongs to the Lord. The emphasis here is the Bible teaches us that we should live our lives to bring glory to God so that people think well of our God, who is perfect and holy and just and righteous and good. We should bring glory to Him. Now, I have known of people in my past that live such a dedicated Christian life, live such a joy-filled life, live such a life of thanksgiving, a life of gratitude. Like, I'm going to tell you something. You knew they were Christians because of the way that they lived. Can I tell you something about that? They brought glory to God. We can bring glory to God by forgiving others. We can bring glory to God by loving the unlovely. We can bring glory to God by caring for people, inviting people to church. That's how we can bring glory to God. But glory has to do with what rightly belongs to the Lord. You see, bringing glory to God's name is giving to Him what rightly belongs to Him. Do you know that our God deserves our praise? He really does. And you know what? It is the desire in my heart that here at Grace Baptist Church, the glory of God is revealed in our church. Now you say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, I'll simply tell you. You know something? We can find glory in the church and we can give glory that is due unto His name. For instance, when we pay the tithe. Do you know something? I believe that brings glory to God. When we pray, when we sing with a heart out of a Spirit-filled life and we are seeking to bring glory to God, I believe that we can bring glory to God when the Word of God is given and Jesus Christ can be seen in the preaching. We can find glory in the church, in the spirit of worship. You know something, I have grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I thank God for the privilege of putting me in a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. But I'm going to tell you something, after I came to know Christ as my Savior, I love to go to church. You know why? Because it was in church that I saw the glory of God. I saw it. And I'm not speaking of something spooky or something in many ways, something that is not there. I'm saying this. When Jesus Christ was preached and lifted up in the church, it brought glory to my Heavenly Father. When I saw couples come and get things right with God and right in their marriage, that brought glory to God. When a song was given, not for someone's praise, but for the praise of God, it brought glory to God. May God find glory in your life and in this church. You're in Psalm 22. Would you go to verse number 27, if you would, please? Notice what the Bible says. The Bible goes on to say, Psalm 22 in verse 27, it says, we'll look in verse 25. It says, "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him." Go to verse 27. "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee." Do you desire to worship God? We think sometimes worship is something so mystical that we have no idea what it is. No, can I tell you something? Worship. We worship, the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. We worship God, what we know to be true about God. And we worship in obedience to God. It brings glory to God when we hear and when we obey and when we follow after Him. So we notice the message of God's people, the mission of God's people. But number three, the last thing we notice this morning is the miracle of God's people. Now, you're in Psalm 22. I want you to look in verse number 30. Notice this closely. "A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." And I'm going to stop and say this. You say, "Well, Pastor, what is the miracle?" The miracle is this, is that God always keeps a witness and a testimony alive in every generation. Do you know that there is always a remnant in every generation? Now look, I understand in America, there are more people that don't go to church than do go to church in America. It didn't used to be that way. But we may think that, hey, we're living in a society when people do not know God and they do not fear God. We understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. No matter what people may say, that the name of God is diminished from our land and that they're going to destroy Christianity, I want you to know something. The Lord will always have a witness in this generation. Every generation to come until Jesus Christ returns, there will always be a witness. The miracle is the seed of God's people. You know, sometimes we get the idea that we're just the only ones that are living for the Lord. We're the only ones holding up for doing what is right. We're the only ones that know Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. That after us, after your generation and my generation is gone, guess what? God will still have a witness and a testimony in the next generation. That's the miracle. And that is the power of the gospel. Because the Lord will always have a generation. Notice something here. You know, there were always others before me. And if the Lord does not come soon, there will always be others after me. Listen, there is coming another generation. Do you know something? That there is a generation that's not even been born yet. That there, God is going to raise up a remnant of them who know and preach and teach Jesus Christ. Why? Because the message never changes. And the mission never changes. But the miracle today is that God is seeking and saving those that are lost. By the way, there is not a man, woman, boy, or girl that has ever been born that God did not die for them. Jesus Christ died. He tasted death for every man. And every man and woman and boy and girl has an opportunity to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, that's our message. And it should be our mission. But this great miracle is that God always has a people. He always has a people. In fact, notice what the Bible says back in verse 30. "A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." You know something, the younger generation is coming. There's no doubt about it. It is not over after all of us are gone. Listen, don't ever think that, hey, once we're gone, it'll all be done. No, because God has another generation coming. God has His seed and the Lord is still reaching people. Oh, listen, it may not be as you would hope it would be, but there is still a generation. That's the miracle of the gospel. Years ago, I heard this story about during the days in China, before the Boxer Rebellion. Now, I don't know if you know much about the Boxer Revolution or the rebellion that took place. It's when they drove out and killed all of the Christian missionaries. Either they drove them out or killed them. Before the Boxer Revolution took place, it was estimated in China that there were around 1 million Christians in China. But then the Boxer Revolution took place, and they killed many of the Christian missionaries and the Christians, and they drove them out of China. But today, you may say, well, it's over, isn't it? It's over, Pastor. The missionaries are gone. No, there's still missionaries there today. In fact, now today, it is estimated that there are not just 1 million Christians in China. There are over 100 million Christians in China. Can I ask you something? How do you explain that? I'll tell you how you explain it. Because the miracle of what God is doing. Listen, Hitler can try to burn the Bibles and stamp out Christianity, and all it will do is flame the flames of the fire of evangelism, and the gospel will be spread more and more. Do you understand the miracle, the power of the gospel? We think about it today. God is still doing a work, and I want to have a part in the work of God today because He is still doing a great work. And brethren, today, I want to ask you something. I don't know who you may be here today. Maybe you've come to church this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know something this morning, that there is a God in heaven who loves you, and God brought you here on purpose today. You say, well, I just came just because someone invited me. No, you're here on purpose by God, orchestrated God who is working in your life so that you can hear. And I want you to know something today. I want you to know that God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves you today, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. He loves and cares for you. And don't believe the lie of the devil that God does not love you. But I also want you to know something, and that is that you're a sinner. And because of our sin, we cannot get to heaven on our own. Listen, you know what man's default is to try to work himself to heaven. In fact, the Bible says that our works of righteousness are nothing but filthy rags. If you study that, those filthy rags were rags they took off of sores on a person's body. They were filthy, nothing but to be burned and thrown away. They were good for nothing, never to be used again. And God says, that's what our righteousness, the best that I can do, the best that I can offer God, is nothing but filthy rags. I'm a sinner, separated from God. But can I tell you something? That sin has to be paid for. And if you want to try to pay for your sin, if you want to try to pay for it, let me tell you this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death in hell for all of eternity. The only way that you and I can pay for our sin is to spend eternity separated from God for eternity. But the great news this morning is that Jesus Christ died for you. He made a way for you. And there's only one way. It is through putting your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the only way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, you cannot get to Jesus through Mary, through the church, through the waters of baptism. You cannot get to Jesus through good deeds. You cannot get to Jesus through any other way. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let me tell you this morning, if you are willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He has promised to save you from your sin debt. He's promised that God can be your God. And our Father can be your Father this morning. And listen to me closely. Oh, listen, God loves you. He has a great plan and purpose for your life. And today, maybe you're here and you're a child of God. Wonderful. But can I ask you something? The message, that hasn't changed. The message is the same. But what are you doing about the message? Is it your mission? By the way, you say, no, that's not for me, Pastor. That's for you. That's for the staff. That's for someone else. No, if you're a child of God today, your mission is the same as my mission. And that is to declare to this generation and to the generation to come that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He hath done this. You know what? Can I tell you this? Years and years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Can I tell you what? He told his disciples that he said, I'm the only way to heaven. And you know what they did? They took that message and they became their mission. And they went into all the world preaching the gospel, saying that Jesus Christ had done this. And somewhere along the line, someone found me. And they told me that Jesus Christ hath done this. And can I tell you what I'm doing today? Now I am telling others that Jesus Christ hath done this. And that is what we all are to do. Oh, may God help us to rejoice today that Jesus hath done this, but to tell it to others. And today, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, come today. Let Jesus be your Heavenly Father. Let Him save you. Let's bow our heads in prayer.